Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll discuss this morning's USDA prospective plantings and grain stocks report. John Newton will join us again today live in studio like he did yesterday. We'll also talk about this marketplace with Wayne Nelson as usual on a Tuesday. He's from New Market, Indiana and L&M Commodities. Drew Lerner will be here too from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And I'll remind you to come and visit with us tonight in Sherman, Illinois at 5:30 for registration. This one's free and open. There is a supper at 6 o'clock, so come and make sure you're there early enough to get things started. That's next to the Rail Golf Course. Starts at 5:30 in Sherman, Illinois, just outside of Springfield. We look forward to seeing you there and having you with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this 31st day of March, Tuesday afternoon. May contract in the corn pit down 18 and a quarter cents. That's mostly on the grain stocks number, which was bigger than many had expected. July at 384 and a quarter, down 18 and a quarter. And September at 392, down 18 cents. December at $4, three quarters of a cent, 17 and a half lower. And the March contract in the corn pit down 17 at $4.10, that is, rather. Soy complex now. Bean futures 973 and a quarter, 5 and a half higher. July at 977 and three quarters, up a nickel. August $9.77 and a quarter, that finished 5 and a quarter higher. And November beans at 955 and a quarter, up 6 cents. Bean meal at 326.80, up $3.60 for the day. And bean oil at 30.39, that was a dime lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures, or rather Chicago soft red winter wheat, down 18 and a half cents. In the May at $5.11 and 3 quarters, July at 5.14, up 19 and a quarter, and the hard red July at 5.63 and three quarters, down 17. Now the live cattle futures, 161.47 and a half, the trade in April, down $1.02 and a half for the day. Feeder cattle finished the nearby April at 2.18, that was 62 and a half cents lower on the day. May contract down 72 and a half at 2.16.72 and a half, and the lean hogs in Chicago for 100 pounds, $62.40, $1.10 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Here's what the outside markets are doing at this hour. Nearby May contract in the crude oil is down 94 cents at $47.74 a barrel. Heating oil or diesel fuel for the day at $1.70 and 7 cents. That's up, or rather down 2 and 3 tenths. And the gasoline on the RBOB, the wholesale price, down 2 and 8 tenths of a cent per gallon at $1.77. and 2 tenths of a cent. Natural gas at $2.64, 4 tenths of a cent lower, and ethanol futures finished at $1.48 and 7 tenths. Their settlement price down 4 and a tenth of a cent. Dow Jones Industrial Average is currently 52 points lower at 17,808. Gold futures at $1,183 or thereabouts are down around $2.25. And the U.S. dollar index is up 0.384 at 98.665. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny skies, a high of 64 degrees on a northwest wind at 11 to 13, gusty to 20 tonight. Well, skies will be clear with a low of 40 degrees and winds out of the northwest at 6. And then Wednesday, sunny, a high of 70 degrees, light and variable winds turning to the south at 8 to 13 in the morning. Winds could gust as high as 17. Partly cloudy on Wednesday evening with a low of 53, and Thursday showers and thunderstorms are likely. Mostly cloudy with a high near 67 on Thursday. Thursday night, a chance of showers 50%, and Friday that 50% chance continues. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 51. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Well, this morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released prospective plantings and the grain stocks figures. They came out looking like this. For prospective plantings, corn now at 89.2 million acres. The range, by the way, at 87 to 89.7 from the trade. Soybean planted acreage expected at 84.6 million acres with a trade range from 83.1 to 88 million acres. Quarterly grain stocks in the corn at 7.74 billion bushels. This is what's left on hand. Soybeans at 1.33 billion and wheat at 1.12 billion. Here to talk about these numbers and how the trade reacted in Chicago is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Another nice little surprise from USDA, at least with the corn, and it came in the grain stocks number. Tell me about it, please.
Yeah, it was a surprise. I think that most everybody was looking for a little bit lower number than this. We're not sure. We didn't see anywhere where they maybe lowered the intentions because of the weather we've seen across the Mid-South and down there where planting's been very slow for this. So that could be one of the reasons that the acreage or the planted acreage for corn wasn't as high as it maybe was. The stocks number, we were looking for a little greater increase in use by feed. That way, maybe we're seeing the numbers increase. You know, the last hog is big report on Friday, the cattle numbers, the dairy numbers, all of that coming on up here. Maybe they're going to start to kick in a little heavier on the next quarter and, you know, bring some of that usage on up. But all in all, it was a little bigger numbers than we were expecting, and here we are, down 18 cents in the corn today. But we are getting down to pretty close to some support levels. And we'll wonder until we see a little more planting progress actually happen if we'll take them too much farther right quick.
Did the trade settle back some as the day started to wear on? When did the 18 cents, when was it mostly lost? And did it settle back throughout the day? Meaning, do we expect follow through tonight more than anything else?
I imagine we're going to see a little bit of follow through tonight, but I think there's going to be some bargain hunters that probably step in if we are down, say another five to 8 cents here in the corn. I think we'll see some bargain hunters come in there. The beans, of course, went down a little bit early. They bounced around and then they came back. You know, they closed off their highs, but still up 5 to 6 cents and looking to. You know, maybe gain a little bit more on this reaction to this report.
A couple of items Daryl Good has posted to the Farm Doc Daily website at this point, his take on the grain stocks figures. And he writes in the report, you can find it now at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, about the corn number, that while the March 1 stocks estimate is 136 million bushels larger than the average trade guess, he says it does not imply that feed and residual use, maybe as you were referring to a little bit earlier here, Wayne, is progressing at a slower rate than implied by the current USDA projection, given the explanation this is taking place in hog, broiler, and dairy cow numbers. The projection of 5.3 billion bushels for the year, that would be usage in that area, still appears to be pretty reasonable. Will the trade eventually come to this conclusion, do you suppose, and be satisfied that the feed and residual number, at least at the moment, remains correct?
I think that that's a logical explanation to think of a lot of things, Todd. I think that as we go along here, you know, a lot of this grain, a bigger percentage than usual, was in farmers' hands. It's hard to estimate what that really is, I think, at times. I think that the government's finding it much harder as more on-farm storage comes up as to equate what it is. I think that as we bring more hogs on feed and also, you know, the chickens and everything that way, that we are going to very easily maybe pull up our feed usage for the summer time period here. So, you know, all that seems very logical in what Daryl said. Also along the lines are, you know, as you read the weather forecast there, I'm hearing rain, a little bit of clear weather and rain. and that doesn't mean for fast planting. And the other thing that goes along is we get down a little bit. We're not in the timely planting area. $4 corn or $3.90 corn doesn't pretend that we plant that extra 80 acres to corn when we're out there planting along the way that doesn't already have the anhydrous on it. I think that, you know, as we look at the cost and look at things like that, that we might not see the extra acres planted if we get a little later and a little delayed, especially down in the south, especially on the fringe areas, especially the Dakotas, and even a few more beans in maybe Illinois, Iowa, and Indiana.
And I suppose it might be important to note at this time that some places had fewer acres. One of the places that did not was Iowa and Minnesota. In fact, Minnesota expected to plant 300,000 more acres of corn and 150,000 more acres of soybeans, an increase of 450,000. I didn't check to see if that came out of spring wheat. I can only imagine that it probably did, and certainly other crops. Will this make a difference over time at all? I was under the impression that that northwestern area of the United States, the Dakotas in particular, still had an awful lot of grain on hand.
A lot of grain on hand, and let's also remember awfully dry conditions. Are they figuring? I don't know what they're figuring to put that many more acres in up there for sure, but that's definitely an area where they may or may not actually get planted, Todd.
So, yield exclusion.
You know, yeah, yield exclusion. I guess that would be the. I guess
nobody
that'd be the right
said that
answer.
Yet, but somebody's bound to eventually, I suppose. So.
I suppose their insurance levels could be better because of the yield exclusion in that area, and they might be going for the insurance check up there. But, you know, like I say, I think that these are big numbers, but we're going to turn around. We're going to see if they get planted. We're also going to see, you know, what happens with the dollar along the way is going to be a big thing. And, you know, what does happen to Iran with this nuclear talks that's going on, and will things do good or break down, you know? So we've got a lot of things to look at, but the main thing we got to look at is the weather coming up here. We do have an early Easter this year. Early Easter generally pertains to or projects to an early spring, and we can get the crop in the ground, but what's the weather going to be from there? And we do have a real shortage of moisture on the west of the Mississippi.
Hey, Wayne, thanks for taking the time with us. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Please do visit our website. You'll find all the numbers from today's reports on the homepage. They're in my Twitter feed, so they may be a little difficult to find. But if you go over and look in the links, you'll find USDA reports as a link, and you'll find the numbers from today in an easy-to-use and simple, digestible format. So if you'd like to see them, you can find them there. If you happen to be near the Springfield area, or you can get there within a couple of hours at 5:30 this evening, the doors will open at the Farm Credit Illinois building for a Will Ag Market panel tonight. Jackie Vakes and Mike Zuzulo will be there along with myself. We'll take you through the numbers. Some of the expectations should be a really good final chance to get yourself for the marketing and set for the marketing and planting season. I hope to see you there at Spree and open to everybody. Registration is at 5:30. There is a meal that's at 6 o'clock, and then at 6:30 we'll take the stage and get things started. One of the things that I will be considering at that point is what Daryl Good has to say about the grain stocks numbers. I'll talk to him at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We'll put his comments, I think, into the Closing Market Report on Good Friday. I'll post them up to the website, but I need some information to put in on Good Friday, so we'll hold Daryl at least a good portion of him for Good Friday. And along with him, I'm scheduled to talk with John Bondurant. We'll hold him for Commodity Week. So Friday should be a really good day on the air here at Will Ag. You can hear both Daryl Good and John Bondurant kind of back-to-back for that hour. Make sure you put that one in your things to do on Friday afternoon of this week. Now, that takes care of the grain stocks and maybe what John Bondurant has done while he's set up for the planting season, and usually by the time we get to him that first week of April, he's already put everything in the ground. We'll find out what that is. That'll take care of the grain stocks and some of the acreage, but John Newton joins us now. He's an ag economist at the U of I, and he's going to help us go through some of these acreage figures and try to discern what it might mean. John, thanks for being with us again today, like you were yesterday. Really do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me again.
Well, you've gone through the numbers. Give me your take of what USDA showed us for acreage today.
Well, plain and simply, it looks like we have less soybean acres than what the trade had guessed and more corn acres than what the trade had guessed. And I think that's led to the pretty significant reaction we saw in the corn market today. I think closing down close to 18 cents. That sound you heard this morning, Todd, was all the bin doors closing across the country.
It may very well have been. It may very well have been. When you look at the maps, state by state or region by region, where were the changes?
Well, you saw, of course, the Dakotas. Those areas were looking like about 100,000 acres came out of soybeans in North Dakota. And then in South Dakota, they lost 600,000 acres of corn. So that's where the biggest changes were. And then in Minnesota, you saw 450,000 additional acres in both corn and beans. And then Iowa's adding 100,000 acres when you consider the corn change and the soybean change. And then here, home in Illinois, looks like we're losing 100,000 acres total corn and beans.
So when we look at the soybean number, the trade really early in the year in January was thinking, hey, the ratio corn to soybeans is telling us plant soybeans, and we think that U.S. farmers will plant 88 million acres of corn and 88 million acres of soybeans. Those are the numbers that Informa came out with. We talked about them on our radio stations over and over and over again, so I remember them. The trade began to back off just a bit, but they only got to 86 million acres, even when the USDA Ag Forum said 83.5, and now they say, well, survey says, from farmers, 84.6 million acres of soybeans. Is this a good number to work with going forward?
You know, Todd, I remember that clearly because I came on the radio earlier in the year and you laughed me out of the room when I said 85 million acres of beans. I don't know if you remember that.
No.
You said the trade's at 88. Who's at 85? You're the only guy in the corn belt saying 85.
I do remember
and
that.
And I stuck to it. I stuck to 85. The trade came in about 86 million acres and USDA's at 84.6 on the year. So, again, that's below the trade. It looks like that's almost a million acres more than what we had last year in soybean acres, so about a 1% increase in soybeans this year. You know, the important thing to think about that, again, as we said when I was on the air with you, several months ago, it's not only acreage, it's also yield. And if you take this implied acreage and a trend yield of 44.6 bushels per acre, we're looking at 3.7 billion bushels of beans produced.
That's a big crop.
That's a big crop. Now, it's smaller than last year's crop. But then if we take and use the same consumption levels as this year, where we're looking like record exports of beans, pretty strong crush levels. We talked the other day just about Chinese hunger for our soybeans. If we have to use that much beans next year, we're still building stocks.
By how much? A couple hundred million?
Maybe 100 million. Couple hundred million, and that's a scary thought when you think about where soybean prices are today.
Yeah, so do we lose another 50 cents? Where do we go with soybean prices?
You know, I'm not in the market to
we'll
project
talk to
prices.
Darryl about that later.
I can project prices, obviously, but the thing to remember is that these are just intentions, and they always differ from actual planted acres. So we'll see. There's going to be a change. We may have fewer than 84 million acres of soybeans by the time we're all said and done, and maybe even fewer acres of corn by the time we're all said and done. When you lose 18 cents in the market as we have today, that's probably going to change some intentions.
Hey, Wayne Nelson talked a little bit about the wet conditions that have been farmers have been really battling in the Delta region. And this USDA report for the prospective plantings, I think I've got to go back and look. I think they started February 24th taking the surveys, but I don't quite recall off the top of my head. Do you suppose when you look at the numbers for the Delta region that they will change very much for soybeans and corn acres? And what do those numbers look like at this time?
You know, that's an interesting question. We were just thinking about that earlier today, and we thought, you know, does the acreage intention include prevented plant? Does anybody intend to not plant when they provide their survey estimates? And we average about 4 million acres of prevented plant a year. On the low end of that's 1.2 to 1.4, but we've seen some really high years of 8 million acres of prevented planting. So how much cropland are we really planting? Where's that prevented plant number going to come into play?
Yeah, well, if I'm a farmer and they ask me how many acres I'm going to plant.
Aren't you going to plant every single one of them?
Well, I guess I'm going to tell them about my prevent plant acres or what I expect won't make it. You bet, because...
We don't have a prevent plant number yet. We don't have an estimate for that.
Well, we have a total number, though, and we know what prevent plant looks like. A lot of the time,
so it can vary quite a bit depending on the year, yeah. And depending on the weather conditions. You know, we saw quite a bit of preventing planting in the late 2000s, but then again, like I said, the low range of that's, you know, 1.5 million acres of prevented plant. So where do we come in on that? That's going to be an interesting thing to monitor.
So where do we go from here? What's next? What do you want to monitor mostly?
That's a tough question, because all winter we've all had our eye on today, and then today has severely disappointed us.
Crop progress reports start.
You know that, right? And I think the June stock report's going to provide more clarity.
Final acreage figures are due then too.
So, you know, that's what we're going to continue to watch. We'll always watch the pace of consumption as we wrap up, get closer to the end of this marketing year, and then weather conditions. Like you said, the crop progress report, that's very important. And I think that's what a lot of people are going to look for to signal what this new crop may do.
Hmm. One thing I'd like to reiterate, the discussion we had yesterday, the Chinese have been a really big user of soybeans. You think that will continue through the next marketing year at the pace that it did this year?
Well, there's certainly no signs of it slowing down if you look at current export numbers. They're about 60 to 65% of our total exports on soybeans go to China. So if you just assume that percentage could continue, their economy's not projected to shrink. So, yes, I could see that continuing in the foreseeable future.
John, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah. John Newton, of course, is an ag economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Talks to us on this Tuesday afternoon, the 31st day of March. A couple of items. If you'd like to catch all of these numbers, you can do that in a couple of ways. If you follow Twitter, you can look for my handle. It's @CommodityWeek, and you'll find all kinds of information, including much of what came from the USDA's executive summary in my Twitter feed. That's also posted to the Will Ag website, so really you only have to have access to the web to find that feed at willag.org. And if you're in the area, you can join me along with Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson and Mike Zuzlob of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Springfield, actually Sherman, Illinois, at the Farm Credit Illinois building tonight. Starts at 5:30 for registration, 6 o'clock for the meal, and then at 6:30 we'll go through all these numbers and their expectations, what they might mean for the coming marketing year. So all kinds of great ways to stay up on the marketplace. Thanks for being with
Support
us.
Comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It's Tater Day. The celebration started in 1842 or 1843 as a time when town folk in Benton, Kentucky would get together and trade sweet potatoes. Farmers from the countryside would bring their taters to town to sell or trade. Nowadays in Benton, The celebration is a three-day event, complete with parade, carnival, baking, canning, and fiddling competitions, and gospel singing. It's also Oranges and Lemons Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1814, John Limebeck patented the cotton seed hulling machine. In 1918, daylight savings time went into effect in the U.S. for the first time. The idea was sponsored by the Daylight Savings Association. New York Senator William M. Calder introduced the bill to Congress on 17 April 1917. It was initially defeated, but subsequently passed by a roll call on 27 June 1917. The concept had originally been introduced in Great Britain as a fuel-saving measure during wartime. In 1945, Lewis Ralph Jones died on this date. Jones was an agricultural botanist and one of the nation's most distinguished plant pathologists. Jones studied enhanced control of potato diseases and increased yield. And in 1989, chefs from Japanese restaurants in New York, after a long debate, persuaded the FDA to allow them to import and serve Japanese blowfish. The chefs had to attend special classes to protect their customers from poisoning. And that's this day in agricultural history.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll hear about the weather forecast from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Warming soil temperatures will occur across the U.S. Midwest as we go forward through the next 3 days, and that will continue to contribute to a better opportunity for some fieldwork and crop development to take place. Well, the warming trend will raise soil temperatures across the region, and the opportunity for seed germination in early planted corn areas will eventually improve, and we're expecting to see a little bit of seed get pushed into the ground over the next couple of days while it's dry and while the forecast is for warmer conditions. However, the progress is expected to be quite limited simply because of the fact that there is still a lot of moisture in the ground in some areas, and there's forecast for more of that to come, and it might not be worth the risk of putting some seed in the ground for fear that it might end up rotting before it gets a chance to germinate. But with that said, there's always that push for some early seeding at this time of the year, and I'm sure it will take place regardless of how moist it is across parts of the region. But aggressive planting will have to be delayed for a while because the ground will be rather wet for a bit. We do expect our first storm system of significance to begin impacting the region as we get out a little bit later this week. The storm will likely start off in some of the southwestern portions of the region, actually beginning also in parts of Iowa. This will take place as we go through the latter part of the day tomorrow and tomorrow night. The frontal system will work its way from west to east through a big part of the lower Midwest. This will include Wednesday night through Thursday. And then the frontal system will have a chance to intensify some of the thunderstorm activity near the Ohio River for a brief period as we go from Thursday into Friday. So some of the rainfall will become a little bit more significant during that time period, and this first wave of precipitation could leave behind moisture totals that might run anywhere from 3/4 of an inch to a couple of inches. We'll continue to monitor the situation rather closely. But it's not the only precipitation event that's expected to impact the lower parts of the Midwest. There will be another event that will show up as we move towards the early part of next week. That storm system will be separated from this one by only a 2 or 3 day period, limiting the amount of drying that will take place. The precipitation that occurs initially on Monday, though, will be somewhat light, with the storm system expected to move across the region having a greater amount of focus on the northern portions of the Midwest and the Great Lakes region and upper portions of the Mississippi River Basin in particular. But when the system comes into the eastern portions of the Midwest, we'll see a new flare-up of thunderstorms occurring in the parts of the Delta, and it will likely advance from there into portions of Kentucky and also Tennessee, so areas south of the Ohio River may see another round of significant moisture as we move from Tuesday into Wednesday of next week. Well, the temperatures are going to cool down also as we get involved with these precipitation events, so the bottom line isn't all that conducive for widespread planting across the region. We'll look for the high temperatures across the lower Midwest to today and tomorrow to run mostly 60s and 70s. There might even be some temperatures over 80 degrees briefly on Thursday as we get involved with the warmest afternoon that we're going to see this week. Temperatures will turn cooler after that, falling back to the 40s and 50s across a big part of the Midwest on Friday, and Saturday will only be a little bit warmer. Lowest temperatures at night will slip back into mostly the 20s and 30s across a big part of the Midwest. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our thanks to Drew Lerner for his update of the weather forecast. Don't forget to join myself along with Jackie Vakes and Mike Zuzolo in Sherman, Illinois at the Farm Credit Illinois building this evening. Opens at 5:30, 6 o'clock for the meal. 6:30, we'll take the stage. It's free, but do come and get yourself registered at 5:30 tonight in Sherman, Illinois.